Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervey. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervey and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem.
An excellent afternoon to everyone listening in Los Angeles and all of you listening on KBC.com, just like my mom.
Oh.
How are you, Carrie? I am Alan Gervey.
I love your mom. I'm Carrie Kasem.
And you are Carrie Kasem.
I am.
And I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervey and Wynn. And you, Carrie, who are you the managing partner of?
Of my life, of sometimes my boyfriend's life, my store, my career.
And as usual today, I am here to be the managing partner of everyone's life, because that's what I like to do.
Oh, I know.
I like to be the managing. Oh, you know. Carrie knows. I am really psyched to be here today. We had a really exciting week at the RGW law firm. That's right. Rowan Gervey and Wynn. That's my workers' compensation law firm. And if you need some help with your workers' compensation claims, call me at 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or look us up at rgwlawfirm.com, rgwlawfirm.com. And if you have a case that you've settled and you want to get a lot of money, you want to settle it with a compromise and release, call me up. Maybe I can get you a lot of money. You never know. I do pretty well at that, Carrie.
You help a lot of people.
I do. And, we have a case coming up. It's going to be an exciting one. I'm not going to say anything about it because it's a really big case, and the employer has not been as upfront and honest as it should.
Although
I can hardly wait to do my cross-examination.
That's most of your clients.
If
somebody's coming in saying, hey, I've been wronged, you're dealing with people who are
No, not all of them. Not
really?
Everyone's been wronged, but some of them have really been wronged, and I can hardly wait. I am chomping at the bit to do the cross-examination. Anyway.
Wait, so you'll take a case with somebody who hasn't been wronged?
Of course they've been wrong, but you can't use that as the basis for taking a case. They're victims. They're victims of a workplace injury. That's all. It doesn't mean that everyone out there is bad. You're trying to make it
Alan,
a Jared Fogel.
Alan,
everyone's a Jared Fogel.
You're a terrible man. All I'm saying is that a lot of times employers aren't paying out to people who really have been hurt. And
that's
true. Wrong. And that's all I'm saying. What you do is you're helping people.
That's true.
Get the funds they need to take care of themselves.
And so, to get the medical treatment, because a lot of people cannot get the medical treatment. We do that well. So I mentioned Jared Fogel, and I mentioned him for a reason, because apparently he is about to make a plea deal which will prevent him or preclude him from serving over 12 years in prison for these horrible, horrible things he was doing with minors.
This woman who wore a wiretap for 4 years. I don't know why it took 4 years. If somebody's having sex with a minor and making comments like he thinks middle school girls are hot, and he wants to set up cameras in little girls' rooms so he can view them. Why did it take 4 years? That's what I'm
And how
wondering.
Did it not get back to Subway? I don't understand. I mean, there's so many opportunities. How do these people get away with these things in private, in quiet? I mean, it's like, what are they doing? Are they signing up for websites and thinking that they're secure or something?
Oh, that's another topic we're going to talk about.
Yes, and we're going to talk about Ashley Madison today, and we are so fortunate to have on the show an expert, a lawyer. His name is Scott Vernick, and he is one of the top lawyers in this area. He represents Fortune 500 companies in commercial litigation matters that are based on technology and data security and privacy. And he was quoted all over the press this week. And if you look at the Associated Press, you will find Scott Vernick giving opinions on the legal issues that pervade the Ashley Madison hack. So we're going to talk about that. And we're also fortunate to have with us Araceli Troy Gomez. I love that name. We're just going to call her Ari, and she's a cybersecurity strategist. She is an expert in security on the internet, and she's going to talk a little bit about what is safe and what isn't, and we're going to talk about legal implications of the hack, Ashley Madison hack, and what you out there may need to think about before you give personal and private information on the internet.
How much do you want to bet that within the next few years there's going to be a movie about this? The Impact Team, the hackers that are responsible for this.
The Impact Team.
The Impact
Team. That's not a kid's cartoon, is it?
No, the Impact Team. I think hacking is horrible. In fact, it's happened to me, and I don't like it. It's awful. But this is almost like something where they've taken the law into their own hands. It's, you know, it's that kind of vigilante justice. And they've said, they even warned them, if you, you know, with the IPO, the public right. offering, if you go that way, if you continue with this, we're going to take you down. And the owner, or the guy who founded it, didn't believe him.
Noel
Made a
Biderman.
Joke about it. Made a joke about it.
Fellow Canadian Noel Biderman from Toronto, who's happily married with two kids and has been operating the Ashley Madison site. And, of course, he's the president of the parent company, the Avid Life Media Incorporated in Toronto. Perhaps just thought that he was going to be just like the Teflon man.
Look, I believe in karma 100%. And, you know, I've talked about this on my radio shows for the last 10 years. I cheated. I've cheated before. And
what, at cards? You hit some cards?
I cheated on somebody I was seeing. And I always knew, and I felt bad about it. And I always knew it would come back to karma comes and gets you. It just
and
does.
It bites
you in the butt big time. So,
yeah.
I was dating somebody I was so in love with. Never thought in a million years this guy would cheat on me. Not in a million years. I just felt like, okay, I dated a guy who was kind of heavy. He was heavy. He had like this long floppy hair. Not necessarily somebody you would walk by and go, I am not. It was kind of like Jared Fogle. Not necessarily like the looker, right? And I'm thinking, okay, I was really in love with him. Musical genius. And I'm just... I was absolutely just like floored when I found out what was happening, and it took me about a year to heal after it. And I was so angry,
did you
and so upset.
Sue?
No, I didn't sue. But we're okay now.
This is a legal show, and I want to know what the legal implications
now,
are.
Now, if he were somebody that I had found on a site,
yes.
or Ashley Madison or something like that, I mean, that would have been even rougher.
But don't we assume the risk? For instance, when you go to a hockey game or when you go to a baseball game and the puck flies into the crowd or the ball is hit into the crowd, there is a chance you're going to get hit. Most people understand that. And when they go there, they assume the risk. So when you go on these sites, aren't you assuming some sort of risk? Or are the security notices just foolproof and you are saying if there's a breach of security, if there's a hack, I'm going after that company?
Yeah, common sense didn't seem to hit any of these folks. Hacking is real. It happens all the time with the highest security levels. Did they really think that this was like impenetrable? Did they think this was like the Pentagon? I'm just trying to figure out that you've got to almost be idiotic to go on a site, put all of your information down, not only all of your information, all your kinky interests, your credit cards, everything that will say, hey, this guy was really on the site.
Carrie, there's a lot of questions that we have to talk about here because a lot of people are very intrigued. I have had a lot of people call me and say, how do I get on the site? Once they got wind that we were doing this show, people wanted to find out if they could look up people, you know, see whether they find the email address or they find some information. And others, some experts have said, you might not want to do that. You might not want to actually go looking to see on these sites. It might be a little bit dangerous. But the other interesting point is we're going to talk to Scott Vernick about this, and we're going to talk about lawsuits. And some of these folks want to remain anonymous in their lawsuit. So here you go. They go on the site. They cheat. It gets hacked. Now they want to sue the Avid Life Media company, and they want to remain anonymous because they don't want anyone to know that they were cheating. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Should we protect those people who voluntarily, apparently, did this, and should we protect their identities in lawsuits? Why don't they just look at themselves and say, you know what? I played with fire, and unfortunately, I got burned.
Because the responsibility level in this country is so low, that's probably not going to happen. That's my feeling. But before we get into all this dramatic talk and into the next segment, I have a serious question for you.
I'm ready.
Ready?
I am.
Black or white?
Black. I saw it on the Facebook page. Black all the way.
Okay, so I have to say, we raced to the radio show. We're down at, you know, Gallatin Ford. I bought my first car there.
Yes,
my first car. I'm not even going to say how long ago. It's embarrassing.
It's the only car dealership that actually has a restaurant.
It does, and we ate there. But Francisco, I think you're listening. You're going to give us a good deal, right?
You
anyways,
better,
we're looking
Francisco.
At the we're looking at the Ford Fusion. What a nice car. So I drive the Prius myself. So anyway, you say black.
Yes, definitely. Don't do the white one. All right. With that piece of advice, we are really honored.
After the
message, we have Scott Vernick on the phone from Pennsylvania, and he's a partner with Fox Rothschild and an expert. He has been quoted all over the news this week, and we're lucky to have him because we are going to ask him some poignant questioning about the Ashley Madison hack. If you want to get in on the action, you can call us right here at Talk Radio 790 KBC. 800-222-5222. That is 800-222-5222. Even if you are not on the list of the cheaters, we still welcome your call. We'll be right back.
Coming up on The Next Drive Home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips, Donald Trump addresses 40,000 people in Mobile. What's the fallout?
Well, how many people does he call dummies?
Well, there's at least 39,999. Live and local right after Dr. Drew at Psycho Mike right here on Talk Radio 790 KAPC.
To be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Burvey, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gerby, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gerby, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gerby, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
I love this song.
Yeah, it's kind of nice, huh? You know where we're going tonight?
Where?
Heart at the Hollywood Bowl.
Do you know they were one of my favorite groups when I was growing up?
Really?
Favorite. Ann Wilson has, they both have incredible voices.
Yeah, they do.
Voices,
and in fact, one of my friends, Ed Shapiro, who listens to the show all the time, is related to them. So it's kind of exciting.
So you got good tickets?
I didn't. Not from him. No, he doesn't really speak to me too much.
This is Carrie Underwood. It's about her getting cheated on. I mean, it's fictional. Yeah.
Is she the one that got really heavy?
No, that's, you're thinking of the first American Idol runner, What's her name? Kelly.
Kelly Clarkson.
There you go.
All right, so we're going to get to a serious subject here. We're going to talk about hacks.
Hacks.
Yeah. The Ashley Madison hack has been in the news all over the place, and people are really interested in knowing about the legal implications and some of the internet security cyberspace implications. And we're fortunate now to have with us someone who has been very busy this week because he's been commenting on this throughout the country. He is a partner at Fox Rothschild, and his practice focuses on representing Fortune 500 companies in a number of different commercial litigation issues, including technology and data security. Scott Vernick, welcome to Gervey's Law.
Hey, guys. Great to be with you.
Hi, Scott.
It's great to have you. So I have to ask you right from the outset here, Scott. with respect to the Ashley Madison hack, should we ever have any sympathy for these large companies who are making a lot of money off of people when they get hacked?
Listen, we should have plenty of sympathy. Number one, let's put aside Ashley Madison, whether you agree, don't agree, you think it's good behavior, bad behavior, let's suspend judgment about that. There are lots of good, legitimate companies out there doing very good things, all of whom are using the web or the internet one way or the other and trying very hard to safeguard customer data, employee data, other kinds of sensitive commercial stuff. And it's a tough thing to do these days because the fact of the matter is, as good as we are, the hackers are one step, if not several steps, ahead of us.
Can we, in fact, rely on representations from companies over the internet that their sites are secure, or is that something that we can never, ever rely on?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and I think it's a tough thing. Look, even if you assume that there are lots of companies out there, call it what you want, eBay, Amazon, Google, Microsoft, your favorite place to shop on the web, all of these companies are taking great precautions. I think they're trying really hard. But the fact of the matter is we live in a very dynamic environment. The situation is entirely fluid. And so whether you're Sony or Anthem or Primera or Neiman Marcus, it's a tough thing. And so I think that people should be careful, and they should use what I call, you know, good computer hygiene when, you know, transacting business on the internet.
Now, how would I protect myself? I got hacked. People took pictures off of my computer. So I actually went into the police department out here and I said, hey, I was hacked. And they said, well, it's not really considered hacked if somebody has your password and they can get in. And I'm like, well, that they're stealing pictures from you, but it's not a hack. They don't know how until I give them my device if I was actually hacked or somebody. How do I protect myself from somebody coming in or somebody hacking actually into my computer? How do I stop that?
Yeah, so look, I mean, I think there are some ABCs here that everybody can follow and understand that it's never going to be 100% foolproof. So number one, people should use robust passwords. So don't use the word password.
Right.
Don't use your dog's name. Don't use your telephone number. Use complicated passwords. And I know that that's awkward and difficult because you have to remember them, but the fact of the matter is use a robust password. Two, every month you should carefully check your financial statements and your credit card or payment card statements to make sure that there hasn't been fraud. You should be wary of clicking on a link when you're using your computer from an address that you don't know. Don't do it. I know it's tempting. When you do online banking or you pay a utility bill, again, don't click on a link to do that, but actually go to the website's actual true web address. Mm-hmm. If you follow those kinds of things and are somewhat diligent about it, you can try to limit the extent to which you're going to have a problem. But again, it's part and parcel today of in many ways of transacting business on the internet. I don't think people should stop. I encourage them to do it. I just encourage them to be careful.
But you also state, based on, for instance, the Ashley Madison hack, that people who are looking to recover in a lawsuit, and I'm going to use your words that is quoted this week, is you'd be surprised to see if they get a lot of traction here. What is that all about?
Yeah, look, here's how I see it. I mean, the real question is whether or not people who use the website, who used Ashley Madison and used it for the purpose advertised,
right,
are now going to come forward and put their name on a lawsuit. Now, I'm not saying it won't happen. What I'm saying is this. Look, if you were single and you used the lawsuit, or, you know, if you were in an open relationship, okay, you might come forward and attach your name to a lawsuit either individually or maybe on behalf of a class. And then the question is, even if you do that, what kinds of damages are you going to be suing for? I think that some damages are probably readily available. Like, people will say, hey, Ashley Madison said it took all these security measures to protect me and what I was doing, and it looks like that didn't happen. Or there may be others who paid, I think it was $19 or $20, to have their information actually erased from the website, and maybe that didn't happen.
Right. Well, that was apparently an elaborate scheme that Ashley Madison and its parent company, AvidLift Media, defend, saying that there were two methods that they could delete the information, and one of them was just to deactivate, which didn't delete any information. And then there's been some claims that even if they paid $19, that the hackers could still find in the footprints some sort of information that had been utilized on the site. So is it the case that there never is an ability to completely eliminate information that you may give to a site?
Yeah, I actually think there is a way of wiping data and of sort of putting new data over it. I mean, it's one of the ways of doing that is a so-called Department of Defense wipe, where you actually type X's and zeros over information in order to delete it and make sure that it's gone forever. I mean, there are ways of doing that. I don't know what Ashley Madison, did or did not do in that particular case. But I think that the question of whether people will come forward is, again, it all depends on whether people are going to lend themselves to that type of lawsuit, given, given the salacious
right.
nature of what's at issue here.
Exactly.
So I have a question, though. That sounds like something a programmer would have to do, like binary code over all your information. That's not something we could do.
Ooh, binary code. I just got chills.
I don't know what that means.
That's zeros and ones over everything.
I don't think it's that complicated since I know about it.
Okay.
And my guess is that given the fact that Ashley Madison is operating a fairly sophisticated website, my guess is they have people on staff and they have information security types on staff who know about that kind of thing. And I think we'll just have to wait and see as to whether they only deactivated information or whether they actually erased it. When I made those comments about whether or not the lawsuits are going to get traction, I mean, part of it is I'm not talking about whether you're going to sue because they didn't live up to the terms of the website or they didn't erase information when they said they would. I mean, the real question is, can I bring like claims for embarrassment or humiliation and those kinds of things? And I actually think that those kinds of claims, might be tougher to bring, particularly
right.
since, this is like going to the ballpark and getting hit by a baseball.
I used that example before. And the other thing is that when you talk about some of these people wanting to maintain their anonymity in a lawsuit, come on, you've represented a lot of people, a lot of companies, and how do they think they're going to get away with being anonymous in a lawsuit? We see that maybe for minors, maybe for John Doe or Jane Doe for a HIV case or something, but they think they're going to have special status?
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. And I actually said that this week in some other context that it wasn't clear to me that a judge was going to grant someone Jane Doe or John Doe status, particularly because, people have a right to know who their accusers are and the company has a right to know who wants to bring a lawsuit, either individually or maybe on behalf of a class, because that will influence and inform their defense. But let me say one thing that you guys haven't talked about yet that I think we should be equally concerned about. It's all fun and games to talk about Ashley Madison, and it's salacious and it's sexy and it's sex and hacking all sort of mixed up in one. But I think the thing that's equally troubling here is that, this impact team in part, did this as part of a social message. And so today it's Ashley Madison, but tomorrow it's some other unpopular political group or some other unpopular social group. And what this kind of hacking does, it actually chills behavior. Now, you and I, we may not agree with this, right? One man's poetry is another man's pornography. We may not agree with this, but we ought to be concerned that this kind of behavior chills each of us, you and me, from exercising our First Amendment right to associate with who we want to.
Scott, that's a very important point. We're up against the news at the bottom of the hour, but I just want to make one comment about that, is that are we going to be in the business of determining moral issues or ethical issues with companies? And you work with a lot of Fortune 500 companies that may say or do the wrong thing. And we're going to talk more about that after the news. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talks between North and South Korea to avoid an armed clash at the border have broken now after a day and most of the night, but correspondent Kyung Law says the news is good.
We don't know exactly what the content of these negotiations has been. There hasn't been any press briefing, but that they are returning, it is a very good sign.
A suicide car bombing in Afghanistan has killed three American contractors. Better news in Belgium, where three Americans helped stop a gunman linked to terrorists from killing anybody on a train heading to Paris. Nick Robertson on the scene as Anthony Sadler and Alex Scarlatos left a hospital.
There were French people standing at the side of the road, and when they saw these two young Americans driving out, they cheered at the side of the road. These young Americans really are heroes to the French. There were so many French people on that train.
Their injured buddy, Spencer Stone, now has been released from the hospital as well. Vice President Joe Biden meeting today with Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, sparking talk of a Biden presidential campaign. I'm Michael Toscano.
Did you know that there's a free app that turns your mobile device into a personal radio station? With RDIO, that's R-D-I-O, listen to this station live, wherever you are. Your favorite artists and your favorite songs, with a whole new way to listen. Plus, RDIO has countless free stations powered by millions of songs. Go to RDIO.com/live, and instantly, you've got your songs right where you want them. That's RDIO, music tuned to you.
I'm Jay Farner with some great news on how you could save an average of $3,000 per year on your mortgage. Call Quicken Loans now at 800-QUICKEN to see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. The HARP guidelines have changed. There's less paperwork and often no appraisal required. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or visit quickenloans.com.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states and NMLS number 3030.
A Long Beach Labor Day weekend tradition continues with the New Blues Festival. The New Blues Festival is Labor Day weekend, September 5th and 6th at El Dorado Park in Long Beach. The New Blues Festival will feature live blues from over 30 bands over this incredible weekend. 2 days, 2 stages, 30 acts, food court, beer garden, VIP lounge, vendor village, and much, much more. There's no better way to spend the Labor Day weekend than listening to the blues with family and friends in the lush settings of El Dorado Park. Bring the blankets, chairs, and your blues attitude and enjoy this incredible music festival. Do you want to go to the festival for half off the regular ticket price? Go to the KABC website and click on the Sweet Deals Offer of the Week. In cooperation with the station, you can get tickets half off for a very limited time. Go to KABC.com and click on the Sweet Deals of the Week for special pricing. Labor Day marks the end of summer, and there's no better way to do it than with the New Blues Festival in Long Beach. See you there!
You've heard of Murphy's Law, but have you heard of Gervie's Law? Anything that can go wrong can be made right. Now, here are your hosts, Carrie Kasem and Alan Gervie.
Wow, this is some cheating music.
Sure is.
I will not be on that list, Carrie, the Ashley Madison list. I'll tell you that.
No, that's good. That's good. I'm sure your wife is really happy to hear that.
She won't even look because she knows that I've been faithful. I like the music. If I were going to cheat, I'd want this music playing in the background.
While your wife was screaming at you?
Screaming
when she finds your name?
No. We're talking about the Ashley Madison hack, and I am Alan Gervie, and I'm with Carrie Kasem right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC, and we are so fortunate to have with us one of the experts in this arena, lawyer Scott Vernick, who is calling in from Pennsylvania. You're in Pennsylvania, aren't you, Scott?
Hey, man, it's Philly every day.
Philly every day. Well, I wish they had a good baseball team, but we won't talk about that. We'll see how
that is cold, man.
Yeah,
that is cold.
Well, maybe the Eagles. There's some lot of controversy with the Eagles. You know, I want to talk lawyer to lawyer to you for a second, Scott, because I went to the Ashley Madison site today, and I wanted to see what kind of representations they're making on their site regarding security. And they have three banners down below: Trusted Security Award, 100% Discreet Service, and SSL Service Site. So are we to trust these as representations? They're putting it out there like a legal representation. Are they offering, and if we accept, does that mean that they have to come through even though it may be a third party that prevents them from living up to those representations?
Yeah, so look, on the one hand, I could say, of course you should not trust them, because obviously they had a problem.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, but I think that that's really too easy. So what I would say, if I was advising you, I would say, look, the fact of the matter is that what they will be judged by, or what someone will evaluate Ashley Madison's conduct by, is essentially whether or not they implemented best practices or practices that were consistent with existing commercial standards at the time that they made those representations, and that's the way they conducted themselves. We live, as I said earlier, in a very fluid environment. Usually the hackers are sort of one step or several steps ahead of us. And so I don't think that you're necessarily in breach or that you've broken a promise to somebody about having a secure website just because somebody broke in, as long as you sort of did the basic things or what is standard in the industry when you made those promises.
I want to bring into this discussion Araceli Troy Gomez, and we're going to call her Ari. Araceli Troy Gomez is a cybersecurity strategist. She's an expert on strategic security, and she has been an expert for Dell SecureWorks. She knows all about this. Ari, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. Now, you must be a popular person this week. And by the way, her Twitter title here is Sleep Deficit with an underscore, and I'm not sure exactly what that's all about. Maybe we'll find out about that in a minute. I have a question for you, because we're going to talk about the Ashley Madison situation in a second, but tell us a little bit about people who are working at companies, people who are going on the internet doing things and don't realize that people like you and other forensic IT experts can probably recover just about anything on their computer at work. People don't just get that.
You hit on probably my hottest button topic related to this sort of thing here, and that's, you know, going back to things like the reasonable man test.
Right.
We have an interesting conundrum here, because it's like a reasonable cheater test. So that's sort of the you know, inherent the guilty conscience that should inspire somebody to take a greater degree of security into consideration when they're policing their own actions. But there's this divestiture of online behaviors from your actual real-world persona that we are watching affect things from security clearances all the way down to, teenage theft of things like music. So you've really hit on something important. A lot of us don't fully understand how much data about our private and personal selves we're surrendering just through benign activity. We're becoming a much more connected culture. Where does that blur the line between inadvertent disclosure and breach? Who owns the responsibility when things have gone bump in the night is a big and constantly emerging question, and it seems like the landscape is continuing to change. So you're right. Nobody knows we're looking until...
You know, I've had people at my office who have actually deleted emails and think that they're gone. We've had people send personal emails from our company email to their own email and doing all kinds of shenanigans. And we've been able to recover the emails, because a lot of them have to do with our clients. Why don't people realize that anything can be recovered? And, Scott, I want to ask you, working for the Fortune 500 companies, are these companies always vigilant about trying to find out what their employees are doing and looking at?
Well, look, I think it depends on the company. Obviously, some companies are much more diligent than others, and I think you'll find sort of every variation between hypervigilant and being lax. But the fact of the matter is that I think companies that are trying to protect themselves do in fact have in their privacy policies statements that say that we have a right to monitor your online behavior, at least to the extent that you're doing it at work, using a work computer or a laptop and using a work address and so forth. And I think that today, in fact, in many ways, that's pretty standard because companies are trying to, it's not just a question of monitoring employees, it's also trying to protect themselves against being hacked.
And, you know, this happened to me. I was working it was a radio station. This is years ago. And I was going to quit. I had enough of the bully that was basically running the station. Four women had quit before me. I didn't know this coming into the job, but pretty much everybody had left dealing with this misogynistic guy that was running it. So I wrote an email to I was going to another station. I wrote an email, and it was on the company's email. So I'm like, you know, I just can't take this anymore. The yelling and the berating and this, I can't be here anymore. I'm literally going to get sick. And the worst of it is, you know, there's no apologies. There's no, you know, I said I'm leaving to the guy, and there was never a like, well, why? What's going on? You know, what can we do to make it better? It was just like, okay. And the next day, this guy pulls me into his office. He's like, you know, I'm really sorry to see you go. And he didn't ask me why, because he knew why. But he's like, he just gave me the apology and that I'm going to be great at my next job and they're going to miss us. And I realized he had read my email. Well, somebody had told me, hey, you know that he gets into all of our emails and reads it. And that was the first time I realized that there is a clause in contracts that allows any of your, you know, superiors to go through your mail. And I felt violated.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you're working for a company, big company, small company, for the most part, you don't have any reasonable expectation of privacy in your emails if you're using a company email address.
Right.
And you don't have any reasonable expectation of privacy if you have a Facebook account that's really a company account, or a Twitter account that's really a company account, or you don't really have, while you're at work, any expectation of privacy in terms of what your online activities are. Now, if you're at work and you're accessing or using a private email account, totally different story. If you're off the clock and you want to surf whatever website turns your fancy, you know, that's a different story. But these days, most company privacy policies or employee policies with respect to the use of the internet and social media pretty much say, hey, when you're on our dime, it's our time, and you don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy in what you're doing. Now, there are some exceptions to that, but that's a general rule.
Ari, I have a question for you, because I heard a term this week that I wasn't terribly familiar with. I did read a little bit about it, but can you tell us a little bit about the dark web and how that fits into the Ashley Madison hack?
Well, the reason that you're not terribly familiar with it is I don't think the industry is terribly familiar with its actual definition. It's, you know, we're kind of tossing it around as a buzzword to describe anything that is not typically and standardly searchable but may be available through kind of quasi-nefarious means of access. So, you know, in the case of Ashley Madison, we're talking about the dark web being things that are available only through, you know, Tor or specialized search functions. You know, if you just try to Google data that's coming off of Ashley Madison, that would not be recoverable. But there are specialized and anonymized search engines, you know, search spaces, aggregate data spaces that make available non-traditional data in that sense. So that's where you know, we've all seen that you now can search the database for the Ashley Madison web users, or interface users. That's been brought to these what's called the surface web, so the opposite of the dark
web. Right.
But
so,
those that are hosting the database.
Ari, should we be worried about this dark web for other situations? Are there things, nefarious things going on that we don't know about?
It's not a practical worry. It's a very real worry, but, you know, we're back to how are you going to triage the things that you're concerned about? Be aware that it's there. You know, back to your earlier point, the stuff that you're doing online is very difficult to bleach off the internet and probably will surface at one point or another. That's where the dark web comes in. Is it something you can mitigate actively yourself? Not so much.
All right, so what I want to know from both of you, and you can chip in where you wish, where are we going now with this Ashley Madison situation? We hear about there's footprints to the impact team. Do we find these hackers? Are they going to be tangible, and can they be criminally prosecuted? Scott, maybe you want to start.
Well, if you can find them, I mean, Ari probably knows more about this than I do, and I just want to say, Ari, that I love the phrase non-traditional data, because that must cover a multitude of every kind of sin out there. So I think that's beautiful. But look, if you can find these guys, maybe you can prosecute them. And I'm not saying that it's impossible to find them, but my guess is they're not making it difficult. And they have a social, in their view, they have a social justice cause here, because they have said, if you are profiting and off the pain of others, we will take you completely down. It's not that the behavior isn't criminal. They stole something. I mean, this is no different than going in, breaking into a store and stealing a bottle of milk. It's the same thing. They stole something. They stole, and forget about just the individual files of people who used Ashley Madison. They stole source code for the website itself. They stole source code for the mobile apps. They stole stuff over that people that Ashley Madison actually owns. And that's real theft, no different than what happened with Sony.
Ari?
But you got to find them.
I totally agree with that. There are a number of different ways that they can and will be found, often through things like partner infrastructure and communications networks that were used to distribute and disseminate this information. But, you know, where we're kind of having a perception problem or an optics problem is the court of public opinion. This isn't your bank. There's not material loss associated that we can measure and quantify, like when there's a major credit card breach. This is a subculture or a counterculture that's, frowned upon very socially. So I think the perception of the prosecutability, so to speak, is probably right. A little bit less, but this is going to be a lesser regimented, more likely, traceable offense, and it is still theft. As salacious as it is, it's still theft, and I think that we will see a lot of productive investigations and some legal action taken because of the reputational damage that's being done.
Is Ashley Madison done?
I think their ability to recover the destruction to the market share they had is going to be really difficult, and this is the unquantifiable problem with breaches in general. How do you measure the reputation damage hit that's going to be sustained? Is anyone going to trust them? Is anyone going to trust the fidelity of a business, unfortunate choice of words there, of a business
right.
in the business
or infidelity?
Yes, exactly. Of keeping affairs a secret when they couldn't do what their core business was. I think that there are people willing to use these services under whatever name are going to be a little bit.
Yeah, no, I agree. I want to thank both of you. It's a real serious subject, and, we do snicker a little bit, smile when we talk about Ashley Madison, although a lot of people are probably crossing their legs right now hearing about this hack. Scott Vernick is a partner at Fox Rothschild. Scott, thanks for being with us today. And,
hey, my pleasure.
Ari Troy Gomez, thanks. She is a cybersecurity strategist. And what is the sleep deficit handle all about?
It's really unfortunate right now. I'm just a raging insomniac. And no, it's not because I'm up at night dealing with all these things that you guys aren't supposed to worry about.
All right.
Well, Take calcium. Calcium and magnesium, and don't drink any caffeine. Yeah. I had it too.
I love that you know the answer to this because I'm out of people to ask, so thank you.
All right. So we're going to be back after this message. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
Dude, have you seen a video of the chimps, like, luring other chimps in? Because, they eat each other.
Yeah.
They murder.
Oh,
chimps murder.
Shocking.
The chimps, like, set traps, and they corner in, like, a couple of other chimps, and then, like, two chimps get attacked by 50.
Oof.
And they just eat them. And, like, they don't go for the neck, like, let's just get this over with.
They tear apart.
They start eating its butt while it's, like, still alive, and the thing's just like,
Dr. Drew, Midday Live. Psycho Mike Catherwood. Weekdays, noon to 3 on KABC.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You know what really bothers me, folks? When we have guests in the studio and they're so busy on their phones. I want to know what's more important than being on the radio. Live radio right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. You're listening to Gervie's Law. And we've had a very interesting conversation about the Ashley Madison hack and about hacking in general and lawsuits and litigation and privacy rights and contractual obligations of internet companies. We had Scott Vernick and Arceli Troy Gomez on, Ari as we call her. She is a cybersecurity strategy, and Scott Vernick's a partner at Fox Rothschild. So, Carrie,
yes.
We've been talking a lot about the internet, and actually, the internet, folks, believe it or not, is not the same all over the world. Did you know that?
Oh, I do. I do. In fact, when I was in China visiting my dear boyfriend, you couldn't get on Google. You couldn't get on Facebook. It was
Carrie, can you just tell me who your boyfriend is?
Jesse Cove, the one and only Jesse Cove.
And where would he be right at this minute?
He's sitting right here in the studio with us, Alan.
Yes.
What's up, guys?
Right here from China, Jesse. Welcome home.
Thank you.
You were in China for 3 months, was it?
Just about 3 months, yeah.
Doing a movie. We're going to talk a little bit about movies. And speaking of movies, we have none other than Ken Kokin, who is a movie producer and has been all over the world trying to use the internet. Ken, welcome back.
Thank you.
So, Jesse, tell us about your experience in China. First of all, why were you there? And then tell us about using the internet there.
I was in China doing a movie called The Last Race, starring Joseph Fiennes. And it was all about, it's the unofficial sequel to Chariots of Fire.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah,
so good.
It's all about what he does after he wins the Olympic gold medal. And I was also in the movie was Dickie Sanderson, Elizabeth Ahrens, fantastic. And yeah, I mean...
So wait a second. After he wins, does he move to China and hang out in China?
Well, he was originally born in China, I believe. And then he went back to England, and his parents, I think, were from Scotland. And then he actually then moved back to China, did some mission work, you know, taught English to the local kids there. And he was a Christian. And then, you know, then the Japanese invaded China, and they started putting foreigners in internment camps. And we were some of the characters of my character, an American. We were put in these internment camps during the war.
Yeah, because you had blood on your face on
yes.
Picture I saw.
Yeah, I got a couple beatings. Rather.
Oh, nice. So tell us, what was it like when you were in China? You know, of course, your wonderful girlfriend's here in L.A. You're trying to communicate. You want to keep track of what's going on. What's internet use like in China?
It's really wild. I mean, the government really takes a lot of control over the internet over there. They just take full control over it. They just monitor everything that you do. So just to do simple things like Facebook or, you know, going to like
any social
Gmail,
media.
Anything.
Yeah.
I had to go through a VPN.
Just getting on that Ashley Madison site must have been
I didn't even really know about all that because I was so far away.
I didn't know about that. What's
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I was far off in location filming. But I had to get a VPN, which is a virtual private network. And that basically allows you to access all the different websites. And I heard even the government officials over there use VPNs
sure.
To see what's going
sure.
on.
Sure.
Wow, who gives you the VPN?
Is you that, buy it.
You go online, you buy it, or sometimes
okay.
they're free.
So but, you kind of bypass the whole Chinese censorship?
Exactly. You have to. And it, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but you literally have to go through this loophole to be able to get into all these websites.
You know, Ken, you've been around the world making all kinds of movies. What kind of experiences have you had trying to access the internet when you've been trying to get on the Ashley Madison site?
I made a movie in China too.
Oh, you did? Everyone here made a movie in China.
I had to buy a VPN. It was like $15 a month. But he said Chariots of Fire, and I can't get that amazing score out of my head right now.
It's the best score ever.
Yeah. I mean, they got to get it for the unofficial sequel. They got to get the unofficial score.
I hope they do.
It's so good. It's
like
so
the greatest score ever. That and Jaws and Star Wars. And
you know,
Arabia.
you're diverting attention here. We're talking about legal issues dealing with the internet. This is Gervie's Law. We're at Talk Radio 790 KBC talking to Ken Kokin. Tell us about some of the legal issues you were dealing with.
Or legal or internet?
Both.
Okay. Well, legal issues are, you know, it's all contractual law when you're making a film. I didn't get into
I'm not talking about making the film. I'm talking about the internet. Were you breaking the law by using the internet in China?
I think I am guilty of breaking Chinese law by using a VPN, yeah.
Would you agree with that?
I think so, yeah. But I there's so many. There's 1.5 billion people in China. I don't know how they couldn't really wrangle up everybody using the VPN, I guess.
Well, but I guess they could come down on it. And if you're American, I don't think they're going to really.
And they don't censor stuff like on TV, the news. They don't really censor a lot. You see everything that's going on. So
yeah.
It's well, you see what they see what you want what they want you to see.
Yeah.
There is, because we were in, you know, Tiananmen Square, where that whole uprising happened with the students up and with the uprising, and, you know, people were killed. And over there, it's like, no, the police were really sympathetic to the students, and they didn't want to hurt anybody, and they came to a settlement deal. I mean, it just, they don't know what happened in Tiananmen Square.
Right. So, yeah. Ken, tell us about the movie that you were doing there. Was it a sequel to Chariots of Fire?
No, it was a Chinese and American co-production.
And that's what Jesse's movie was,
yeah,
as well.
It was,
but
yes.
His was bigger than mine. Mine was very small. And it starred John Robinson, the guy from Elephant and Lords of Dogtown. But, yeah, if I would have got busted for using Facebook in China, I would have called Mark Zuckerberg and had – he speaks Chinese and had him
– does he really?
– bail me out, yeah.
Hey, wow.
Smart guy.
I think – I don't
why,
think...
if you speak Chinese, you're smart?
No, not only is he a technical genius wizard, he speaks Chinese, which is not the easiest language to learn.
It's a hard language.
Very hard language to learn.
Using
so you're
VPN
saying
hard,
that
too.
The one of the wealthiest youthful men in the world – and who is behind Facebook actually is not smart enough to learn Chinese?
No. You just want to argue with me today,
no,
Alan.
No, I'm
you
not.
Just, I'm just so... making a comment, Alan. I'm just
Alan,
making a comment.
A question.
Yeah.
You know?
For go
these,
ahead, Ken.
For these 39 million people that were using Ashley Madison, don't they know that they should buy their credit cards at, like, Walmart or something like that?
Well, a lot of them did. Yeah, they really had those cards. Credit cards, information was something that could not be something that they could not be what's the word I'm looking
like
for?
Like prepaid cards.
Yeah, exactly.
So you couldn't actually get it. They could put any fake information that they wanted on there, or even a PO box, I guess.
I know so many people in LA. I don't know how I would ever cheat on anybody.
You've never cheated, Ken?
Not officially, no. It all depends on how you define cheat.
Not officially.
Okay, so, and Jesse, you were here at the beginning of the show when Carrie was talking about her experience in cheating. How did that impact you?
I mean, everyone has...
And let's make it clear. I've never cheated on Jesse, and I haven't...
No. I'm not talking about...
I haven't cheated in the last 10 years of my life.
But,
so.
Carrie, I don't think you will be upset with me saying this, is that you have heard the argument that once a cheater...
Sure, always a cheater. And I actually believe that. I believe that it's very hard. I did a lot of therapy. I really said, I got to stop. I want to change. I want to be happy. And the choices I was making, not only that choice, other choices in my life, were making me a very unhappy person. So I had to kind of look in the mirror and say, enough's enough. Yeah. I want to change this.
And I think there are alternatives. And Gurvey's Law is all about taking negatives and making them into positives. And one of the alternatives is if you do know you want to be with another person, another woman, another man, depending on who you are, why not get out of the situation you're in first and then go with that person?
And that, you know, when I say I cheated, I never slept with two people at the same time. So I did stop sleeping
so
with this person.
You never had a threesome?
No.
Would that
no,
be cheating?
No, that's not what I mean. I've never,
cheating?
No. That's,
okay, we're going that,
hold on,
really
hold on,
low
let me,
here.
Wait.
I'm getting to Jesse.
No,
I
stopped
question
the relationship.
Was for Jesse.
No, but the relationship I was in, we were not having sex. And I did go outside the relationship, cheated on it, and then I ended it, which was not a good thing to do. You know,
okay,
that's
Jesse?
Not the way to do that.
I also was a cheater myself, but I think through every person's inner growth, like you said, turning negatives into positives. People do grow. I was irresponsible, and I became responsible, and you stop doing that. And I think everybody has to go through their own inner growth to do that.
And I truly believe in that, because I think that if we label someone, for instance, a cheater, that's not fair. You have to give a person an opportunity to grow, a person to realize their mistakes. We have to offer people some ways to have a life, even if they've used poor judgment. Ken?
As the managing partner of my life, here's the question for you. If you're in a committed non-sexual relationship and you have sex with somebody, is that cheating?
Say that again?
If you're in a committed non-sexual relationship and you have sex with somebody who's not that person, is that cheating?
Of course it is. If they don't know about it, it is. If they know about it,
you know, we have to talk about the emotions. There's a lot of things that go into relationships, whether it's a physical, emotional. Cheating can be emotional as well when you start using someone else to talk to instead of your better half. Jesse Cove, thanks for being here, and we'll look for the movie. It's called?
The Last Race.
The Last Race. Ken Kokin, thank you.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure to see you. See you.
Is that the time? We're done?
We're done.
Oh,
thanks for listening to Gurvey's Law right here on Talk Radio 790.